cabin will do.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Cavanis. Great song. Isn't it going to be great one day as a child of God to be next door and neighbors with Jesus? And that's going to be great. I said, that's going to be great, isn't it? Y'all don't want to be next doors to Jesus? It's going to be a wonderful time. Well, take your Bible, if you would, this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, while you're finding your place, moms, how many of you have ever had the privilege of baking a cake with one of your children and they being your assistant and helper? Well, I think most of the moms have, and I found an article the other day that a mother wrote down her procedure of baking a cake with your child. She says, first of all, preheat oven. Check to be certain that there are no rubber balls or plastic soldiers on the oven shelves. Remove blocks and toy autos from the table. Grease pan. Crack nuts. Measure 2 cups of flour. Remove Johnny's hand from the flour. Wash flour off Johnny. Remeasure flour. Crack more nuts to replace the ones Johnny ate. Put flour, baking powder, and salt in sifter. Get dustpan and brush up pieces of bowl that Johnny knocked off on the floor. Get another bowl. Answer doorbell. Return to kitchen. Remove Johnny's hand from bowl. Wash Johnny. Answer telephone. Return. Remove 1/4 inch of salt Johnny has poured in the greased pan. Look for Johnny. Grease another pan. Answer telephone. Return to kitchen and find Johnny. Remove his hands from bowl. Take up greased pan and remove layer of nuts in it. Reach for Johnny. Johnny runs, knocking off bowl on table, off of table. Clean up pieces of bowl off floor. Wash kitchen floor, table, walls, dishes. Call bakery, place order, take two aspirin, lie down. So there is your there is your baking with Johnny. All right? Every mother in here can associate with that. Let's stand together. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. I want to speak to you this morning about, on this subject, a mother to remember. A mother to remember. 1 Samuel 1 and verse number 9, beginning reading there. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. The reason being is Hannah could have no children. She was barren. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken, and put away thine wine from thee? And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And I want to take these passages of Scripture along with some others out of 1 Samuel 1 and 1 Samuel 2. And I want to speak to mothers this morning and basically families and all of us this morning. And I want to speak to you about a mother to remember. Now, Father, we're grateful to be here on this day. And I pray now that as we've opened the Word of God and we've read the Word of God, Lord, you promised that your Word would not return to you void. So as it goes forth today, Lord, would it produce fruit in the hearts of every person under the sound of my voice today. And I pray, Lord God, that you do something in our hearts. Thank you for mothers. And oh, Lord God, thank you that you put a wonderful mom in my life that loved me and cared for me and did so many things, Lord, that I could never repay her in a million years for what she has meant to my life. And I think we could all probably say that to a degree. Now I pray now that we learn something this morning about this mother, Hannah, a mother to remember. For we'll certainly ask your blessings on it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One cannot put a value on a mother. Her value is far above money. It's far above possessions. May I say to you this morning that a mother is priceless. Mother's the one who nurtures her children and displays one of the greatest assets to her children, and that is one of unconditional love. You see, mother's the best teacher of compassion, love, and stability. Mother's the center of attention and respect for a child, and it's her love and peace that clings forever in the memory of a child. You know, many times, I'm not degrading us daddies, but you know, many times, kids, when you start talking about daddy, not many tears are shed, but when you start talking about mama, tears swell up in our eyes. Why? Because there's that bond. There's that loving bond that a mother has for her children, and she's displayed that. By the way, can you imagine how many hours a mother spends with the children above that which is spent by the father? Many, many hours. You see, even when mother is no more, mother's not with you anymore, her image in your heart brings a smile. Listen, even in the lowest periods of your life, and that image encourages you to keep going and not stop. You see, mother is God's gift to a home. And I must say that there are millions of women today around the world who have given birth to a child and that are a mother on paper, but not by divine description. And if you had the privilege of being raised by a mother that was the epitome of love and devotion, then you ought to thank God every day of your life that God put you in a home where a mother cared for you and nurtured you and loved you and took care of you when you were sick, raised you up when you couldn't take care of yourself, fed you when you couldn't even feed yourself. God put you in a home of the mother that cared for you like that. You need to thank God. For let me say to you, it's by the grace of God that you had that privilege. Our story today involves a mother that I believe reflects the genuine qualities of a sincere and nurturing mom. Her name was Hannah. Her name means favored of the Lord. Her name fit her character and the desires of her life. Let me just say to you, we didn't have time to read everything, but I do want to say to you that Hannah was married to a man by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah was a very devout man. He was a good man. He was a dedicated man. So she was married to a good husband. Hannah was barren and couldn't give her husband any children. You see, this made Hannah very sorrowful because a woman's pride and joy in that day was to bear to her husband children. And she could not do this for her husband, so she became very sorrowful. And the thing that stands out about Hannah in all this story, in all this that we're going to look at this morning for just a few moments, the thing to me that really stands out about her is her character and her spirit. Her character and her spirit. Both were excellent in quality. And thus today I deem her a mother to be remembered. A mother to be remembered. She had the motherly qualities that we need today in the home. She was a mother that we're going to look at here in just a moment. That, ladies, this morning, if you will incorporate these qualities into your life, I promise you, you will be the mother that God wants you to be and designed you to be. And I want to take these passages of Scripture for just a moment this morning, and I want to look at this some things that Hannah did that, mamas, we need to incorporate into our lives, into our families. Some of you say, preacher, I've already got a lot of these qualities. Wonderful. Enhance them. Don't ever let them slip through your grip. I want you to look, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 5 for just a moment. This may not seem significant, but I'm going to mention it anyway. The Scripture says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he, her husband Elkanah, loved Hannah. You say, so what's the significance of that? Let me say, first of all, she was loved by her husband. She was loved by her husband. Now, obviously, Hannah was trustworthy. Hannah had done some things to acquire the love and affection of her husband. You see, she must have demonstrated that love back to him and been loyal to him and took her rightful place in the home under the submission of the head of the home, her husband. And the Scripture, the Holy Ghost, just decided to record, for he loved her. He loved Hannah. You see, her spirit must have been one that was submissive in the home, not only to her husband, but submissive to God. You see, it seems that it was very easy for Elkanah to love Hannah because of her spirit, because of her integrity, because of her attitude, and because of her faithfulness. And I think because of those things, it made it very easy for Elkanah to love her. And I think it made him secure in his relationship. So may I say to you, dear ladies, dear mamas today, I think it's important that we look at this, because it was her husband that loved her. And I think she had the qualities that caused him to love her deeply, to care for her and have security in his relationship, and trusted her deeply. You see, it's important that the husband love his wife. You know, the Scripture says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The only reason that would cause him to be bitter against the wife was probably if something happened that would cause him to betray that type of feeling and to display that type of feeling. But I want to say to you today that this dear lady, this mother, to be remembered, was loved of her husband. So she must have had the qualities there, must have been practicing within the home, that not just for the love of her children, but for the love of her husband. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 6, if you would, please. Now, I must say this before we get into this. Elkanah, Hannah was not Elkanah, her husband's only wife. He had two wives. Now, I wouldn't recommend that. Okay? But he had two wives. Peninnah, his other wife, could bear children to Elkanah. Hannah could not. And in verse 6, the Bible says, and her adversary, speaking of Hannah's adversary, also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. The second thing that I want to point out today, mamas, is not only was Hannah loved by her husband, she had the qualities of a mother, a nurturing spirit. But I want to say, number two, she didn't quit in the face of opposition. You know, mothering's a tough job. Amen, mamas? It's a tough job. Hannah had a tough job, but she didn't quit in the face of opposition. And may I say to you, mothers, there will be interruptions in life. It may be in the home. It may be a marriage interruption. It may be interruption with the kids. But you listen to me. That's okay to have interruptions. Just don't get distracted. Don't get distracted from what God and His purpose for your life. Don't lose focus on what God has created you to be. You see, Hannah could have lost focus because she was being provoked. Because she was being made fun of. But you know what? She could have quit. She said, you know what? I'm out of here. I don't have to put up with this. You know what? We got two wives. You what? Keep her. She could have been out of there. She had no attachments there other than her husband. She could have quit and left. But she didn't. She didn't quit in the opposition that came even from within her own home. May I say to you, mamas, listen to me. Yes, it's going to be tough times, but listen to me. Don't bail out when times get tough. Don't bail out. I remind you that flowers don't grow on the mountaintops, but in the valley. There's going to be peaks and valleys in being a mama. Don't get discouraged when there seems to be no end to your trials. Mamas, you ever get to the place you think, when is this all going to end? It just seems like one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. Listen, you can't quit just because you can't see the end of when all this is going to come to a conclusion. My wife and I have learned now that we're grandparents that, you know, parenting never ends. You know, mamas and daddies, remember when the kids say, boy, I tell you one thing, I can't wait. I am so ready to spread my wings and fly. I just want to get out of the house and make it on my own. And they were so determined to get out. And then the thing about it, they didn't want to be at home, so they wanted to spread their wings, get their own job, have their own place, and get out there in the world and make it on their own. They were so anxious to get out that when they get out, now they want to come back. My wife and I now, coming down toward the end of our last child will be a senior next year, but we've got other children that are out, and it's amazing how oftentimes we'll be sitting there enjoying ourselves, you know, and next thing you hear is, hello? Yes? Oh, I just was driving by. Now, listen, where I live, you don't just drive by my house. Okay, I'm not on a main thoroughfare. Okay, so you don't just drive by. You mamas understand what I'm talking about? Listen, isn't it amazing how they're so desperate to get out? But then, you know what? Once they get out, they realize what they left. And they realize what they missed when they were home. They missed that love and that nurturing and that care. Plus, they missed three hot meals a day. And I'm telling you, eating fast food, wow, that can get to you quick. All I'm saying to you, mamas, is don't be discouraged when there seems to be no end to the trials. You see, Hannah was being provoked regularly because of her infirmity. She couldn't bear children. And day after day, she was being provoked. Let me tell you something. Don't quit. Don't quit. You may come to the conclusion, you say, well, listen, nobody needs me. Yeah, they do. They may not act like they need you, but I promise you they do. Don't quit. Don't quit in the face of opposition. I want you to look at number three. Another thing that I noticed about Hannah, you'll find in verse 10, verse 12, and verse 15 in chapter 1. Notice this. And she was in bitterness of soul. Now look at this. And prayed unto the Lord. Look at verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Look at verse 15 in the last section. It says, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. May I say to you, number three, one of the things that I believe that made Hannah a mother that should be remembered and that will always be remembered is not only was she loved of her husband and didn't quit in the face of opposition, but she knew how to pray. She knew how to pray. I remember as a boy, many times in my parents and we went to another denomination, but I remember my mom was very faithful and very loyal to that church. And I remember many times that we'd come home from school or maybe get up early in the morning, and I remember times walking into my parents' bedroom and seeing my mom on her knees beside her bed praying. And I remember seeing that, and at first it didn't make that big of an impact on me until you get a little bit older and you realize how important. It may have been mama's prayers that have spared your life. It may have been mom interceding for you that has kept the destroyer off of your life. You see, I appreciate it. Then I didn't. But I want to say to you that Hannah knew how to pray. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. She couldn't even bear children. What's she doing praying that God would open her womb and allow her to bear children? Why? She trusted God. By the way, she didn't have anything to lose, right? All God had to do was say no. But may I remind you that in verse number 27 of that same chapter, if you'll look at it, she knew how to pray. Let's see if God answered her prayer. Verse 27. It said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Let me tell you something. That's a big time prayer answered right there. Couldn't bear children. God opened her womb, bore Samuel, and then God said, you know what? Because I love you so much and because you've been so loyal, I'm going to open your womb. And she gave birth to five more after that. Couldn't have any to begin with. God gave her six kids. But you know where it all started? It all started on her knees in prayer. Mamas, can I ask you today, when's the last time you've prayed for your children? When's the last time that you've gotten on your knees and interceded on behalf of your children? You say, but oh, preacher, they're off in the world. Somebody, listen, what difference does that make? Uh-oh. What difference does that make? Just leave it down there, Tim. It's all right. Okay? What difference does that make? It doesn't make any difference. Whether they're off in the world or sitting in the church pew, they still need to be prayed for. Hey, the thing about it is, wouldn't you want somebody praying for you? Hey, mamas, listen to me. Do you know what? They may be away from God. They may be in the far country. But you listen to me. If you're not praying for them, nobody may be. Nobody may be praying for them. You see, when's the last time you prayed for your children? May I say to you that Satan desires them? He wants them. That he'd sift their life and separate them from God. You see, Hannah knew how to take her heartaches to the Lord. You see, even though that she had been ridiculed and provoked, did you notice she didn't retaliate? She took those to the Lord. She didn't criticize. She wasn't vindictive. She just took those provocative statements by Peninnah and just took them to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm just going to turn it all over to you. You see, she realized that if anything was going to change, God was going to have to do the changing. If she was going to be able to bear children, she could do nothing of herself. She could have gone to every doctor known to man, but she still could not have had children. God was going to have to open her womb. May I say to you next, look if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. The scripture said, and the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up with the, for she had said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Look in verse number 28. Therefore, also she said, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. May I say to you, mamas, number four, she dedicated her children to God. She dedicated this boy, Samuel. She dedicated him to the Lord. Psalm 127 in verse 3, may I remind you, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. It's His. Those children that God has given you, that you birthed into this world, they're not yours. They belong to God. They're His possession. He just lent them to you to raise them and nurture them and care for him. May I remind you, mamas, that as you hold that sweet little baby into your hands as though God was holding that child in his hands, because your hands have to become his hands. Your voice has to become his voice. Your love, he loves that child through you. You see, she decided and dedicated her children to God. You see, she understood that they were on loan. She didn't attempt to control God's will for her son. She didn't birth him and say, you know what? You're going to be a doctor. Or you're going to be this. Or you're going to be that. No, she gave birth to him and said, here, Lord, use him. However, whatever you... Now, if you want him to be a doctor, amen. Doesn't matter, Lord. I'm just going to give him to you. You make him what you want him to be. Now, mamas, I want you to listen carefully to me. She did not try to live vicariously through her kids. Let me back up there. That didn't go over. I said she did not try to live vicariously through her kids. You see what happens sometimes, mamas, if we're not careful. We begin to allow our children to do things that maybe, quote unquote, we didn't get to do. And may I say to you that I'm not sure that that's the best thing for them. You see, the thing about it is, yeah, hey, listen, some of us may not have been able to have a car of our own for a while. Listen, you say, but you know what? I'm gonna make sure my child has a car when they're 14. You see, what happens if we're not careful, we begin to try to live vicariously through our kids. You see, she didn't worship them. She didn't neglect her husband and put her kids first. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've heard married women say, well, my focus is on my kids. I've heard them say, it's all about my kids. Okay, well, wait a minute. Now, what about the husband? You see, what's happened is you've all focused. You've lost focus of what your position is and what God's created you to do. Hey, He gave you a husband before He ever gave you children. Many times, if we're not careful, mamas, our children will get our focus off of God. Do you realize that Hannah took Samuel to the house of God and turned him over to the house of God just after she had weaned him, probably sometime around 2 or just thereafter? Took him to the house of God. Now that leads me to the next thing. Look in verse 25. 1 Samuel 1, 25. When they came, she gave birth to Samuel. And finally, when she had weaned him in verse number 24... she took Samuel to the temple, to the house of God, to the man of God. Look in verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. They not only brought him to the house of God, they took him to the preacher, the priest, the person who was head of the house of God at that time. Now listen, mamas, I want you to listen to me well. Here's what Hannah did. She connected her children with the authorities in their life. Did you hear me? She connected her children with the authorities in her life. Now, I got to say something right here, and I'm going to say it, and you need to listen real quick, carefully. Eli wasn't perfect, was he? Matter of fact, may I remind you, this is the same guy that accused her of being drunk. And she took him back to the temple and turned him over to the guy that accused her of being a drunk. May I remind you that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were living wrong and ministering about the house of God. They weren't even believers. The scripture says in verse 12 of chapter 2, they were of Belial, the devil. You say, you mean that's the priest's sons, Eli's sons? Yeah, they weren't even saved. Would you turn your kid over to that guy? You see, the thing about it is, obviously, Eli loved God. Eli was committed to God. And so you know what? Eli was the person and the man of God that God had set up for them in that day. So you know what she did? She didn't criticize the man of God. She didn't criticize the priest. You know what she did? She took and connected her children with the authority in her life. He said, well, I don't agree with how Eli lived his life. I don't agree with some of the things. Listen, you ain't gonna agree with everybody. You see, she wasn't connecting him with the person. She was connecting him with the position. So she connected her boys with the authorities that are in her life, that were in their life. And although Eli faced his own personal problems, Hannah never disconnected her son from the authority. Mamas, listen to me. You've got to listen to me. Listen, what's happening today is children are getting off track for God, because if we're not careful, we'll destroy every authority in their life. We'll get home and say, you ain't got to listen to that preacher. You ain't got to listen to that youth pastor. You ain't got to listen to that deacon. You listen to me. And I don't agree with what they said. Listen, you're not going to agree with everybody. But listen to me, you're making a gigantic, I'm telling you, a gigantic mistake if you destroy the authorities in their life. Listen, it's going to affect them the rest of their life. Sometimes they're not going to agree with everybody, but you know what? You bring yourself under authority even though you may not agree. Hey, I've told you 100 times, I don't agree with 35 or 40 miles an hour out here, but I better submit myself to it. Because that's what the authority said. If we begin, mamas and daddies, to destroy the authorities in our kids' life, listen to me, they're not only going to have no respect for authority outside the church, they're not going to have respect for authority inside the church, listen to me, and then ultimately, they're not going to have any respect for God. And then we wonder why they don't want to come to church. And then we wonder why we can't get them to read their Bible or pray. I don't want to have anything to do with church. Somewhere along the line, authorities were destroyed. The bridges were blown up between that child and the authorities in their life. Don't make that mistake. Hannah took that boy back to the man that called her a drunk and said, I'm connecting him with the position. I'm bringing him under the authority of the position. May I say to you, look in chapter 2, verse number 19, real quick. Each year, Hannah and Elkanah would go back to the temple to visit their son Samuel. And I want you to notice what she did in verse number 19. Moreover, it says his mother, Samuel's mother, made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. The next thing I see here about a mom to remember, she nurtured her children. Every year she would bring a token, a little coat for him. She loved him unconditionally. She constantly gave without expecting anything in return. You see, she always had her children's best interest in mind. And kids here today, I want you to listen, and you listen well. Sometimes you're not going to understand why mama makes the decisions that she makes and why daddy makes the decisions he makes. You're not going to understand sometimes why mama says you need to stay away from this person. You don't need to go here. You can't spend the night over there. And listen, and you're going to say, I just don't understand. Listen, trust them. Trust them. You see, Hannah had proved that she was a nurturing mother. And can you imagine, do you think that maybe Samuel anticipated mama and daddy's yearly visit? And mama would bring him a little coat as a token of her love. And may I say to you, young people today, Sometimes mama may not be able to take you to the store and buy you a new set of clothes, but just an embrace, a hug, a I love you is a token that she cares. And then the last thing I want to show you this morning, look if you would in 1 Samuel 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Listen to this. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. The last thing that I notice here that about Hannah is she was a believing mom. She's a saved mom. She's a Christian mom. And you know what? She had the best interest of her children in mind because she was a believer. Hey, she had a great heritage. And hey, listen, God had blessed her life. And she believed God by faith. And man, what a great gift Samuel had to have a mama that was a believer. Hey, he could have been born to another family in a heathenistic world, in a heathenistic time, and never been introduced to God. She was a believing mom. She was a Christian mom. She was a mom that served God and loved God and prayed and was devoted to the Lord. You see, Hannah was a mother to be remembered. You see, she was loved by her husband. Obviously, she had some qualities and things that drew her husband and knit her husband's heart with hers. She didn't quit in the face of opposition. And mamas, I'm here to tell you, you've got a tough job. I promise you, most of these men in here wouldn't trade jobs for you or with you for $1 million. And that's raising kids, spending time with kids. Listen, taking kids to ball games, going here, going there. Man, mamas, do you ever feel like a taxi service? You ever feel like going out and painting your car yellow? Just be a taxi service? But she knew how to pray. She dedicated her children to God. She knew they belonged to the Lord. She didn't try to live vicariously through their lives. She just gave them to God and whatever God wanted for them. She connected her children with authority in their lives. She nurtured her children. And then may I say, she was a believing mom. She put her faith and trust in God. And may I say to you, mamas, you'll never know how to be a Bible mom and fulfill the fullness of God's blessing until you know Jesus Christ. Until you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a great gift to your family today, mama? Wouldn't it be a great gift to your family today, daddy? Wouldn't it be a great gift to your family today, teenager, young person, if you'd come today and just say, you know what? I need to be born again. I need to know Jesus Christ. It will be the greatest beginning that you've ever experienced in your life. If you'll come this morning. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many can say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've been born into the family of God. I've accepted Jesus Christ, no question about it. And I'm going to raise my hand as a testimony. Slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. No question about it, preacher. I've been born again. I know it. I've been saved. I put my faith and trust in Christ. All right, wonderful. You can put your hands down. The Father, I ask you on behalf of these dear people, that those who could not raise their hand, that today would be the day that they would give that gift to their family. And that's the gift of salvation. That's the gift of coming to know Jesus Christ. Lord, there were probably, I don't know, just scanning the auditorium, maybe a half a dozen people that could not raise their hand and say that they know Jesus. I pray that today would be that day. Today would be the day of their salvation. And my prayer now, oh, Spirit of God, means nothing if, Holy Spirit, you don't convict and you don't move today. Save mamas, save daddies, save children, and that today would be a rejoicing day on this Mother's Day 2011. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, there was probably a half a dozen people this morning that could not raise their hand and say, preacher, I'm saved. I don't believe you came to a service this morning without at least thinking about that, and I believe God sent you here on purpose. Those of you that could not raise your hand this morning, and you'd say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know Jesus Christ as Savior. When I die, I want heaven as my home. And I do want a mansion close by the throne of God. But you say, preacher, I can't honestly say that this morning. And if I died, I have no idea what would happen to me. But you would let me pray for you this morning. There's no one looking but me. How many of you would be honest before God this morning and say, "Preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been born again. I don't ever remember someone taking a Bible and showing me how to be saved, but I want to be." And you'd let me pray for you. No one's looking but me. How many would slip your hand up right now and say, "Preacher, that's me"? Just slip it up. God bless you. Anybody else, you can put your hand down. Anybody else? Anybody else? There's one. There's two. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ, but you'd let me pray for you." Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? How many would say, "Preacher, I've already been saved"? Someone maybe has come by your home and opened the Bible and showed you how to accept Christ. Maybe you've accepted Christ in a church service, maybe at another church somewhere. But you say, "Preacher, I've never been baptized as the Bible commands after you get saved. I know it's the right thing to do. I know it's the right thing that God wants me to do in order to be right with God. I know it." How many of you say this morning, "Preacher, would you pray for me? I need to take care of that business, bit of business for God. I need to be baptized. I know it's the right thing to do." How many would say this morning, "Preacher, pray for me that I'll get that done"? Won't you slip your hand way up high and say, "Preacher, that's me. God bless you." You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do." Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. Anybody else beside these two? God bless you. Anybody else beside these three? Who will be the fourth one? Anyone else? Say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized." Anybody else? All right, then how many would say this morning? And you'd say, "Preacher, I'm a mother. Maybe your kid's already grown and out of the house. Maybe you still have children in home." But how many mamas today would say, "Preacher, I want to be that kind of mama like Hannah. Deep down in my soul, I want to be a praying mom. I want to do everything I can to minister to my children and love them and help them and nurture them. And I want to be the type of mother the Bible described Hannah to be." You say, "Preacher, I'm not there yet. I'm not where I want to be. But I want to be that kind of mama." Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? That's me. Won't you slip your hand up and say, "I want to be that kind of mama that the Bible described as Hannah"? All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, the invitation is yours. I do ask that you would show yourself great this morning. And I pray that when the invitation begins, Lord, that those that have raised their hands said they needed to be saved would come this morning. Maybe there's a mama that was a little bit afraid to raise her hand. Just a moment, that she would come. And I pray, Lord, that those that raised their hand and desired to be a mother like Hannah, a mother to be remembered and remembered by God, that was so remembered and so loved by God, that, Lord, you opened her womb and you, a barren womb, you gave birth, Lord. You allowed her to birth 6 children into the world when before she could not, all because of answered prayer. And I pray for every mother that raised their hand that today they might make their way, Lord, to an old-fashioned altar this morning and rededicate themselves to Christ. Have your way. Some need to come get baptized. Some need to be saved. Whatever the needs are, show yourself great this morning in this invitation in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me? As the instrument begins to play, I'm going to ask the musician to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, you come. If you raise your hand, this is your opportunity. If you said, "Preacher, I need to be saved, need to be baptized," you come. You come. This is your opportunity. If you were a mama this morning and you raised your hand and you said, "Preacher, that's me. I want to be dedicated. I want to be dedicated to be that kind of mom that Hannah was in Scripture." You come. You come. If you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved," or, "Preacher, I need to be baptized," please come. Please come. This is your opportunity. Just step out of the aisle. We have someone down here that will deal with you and pray with you. Would you step out and come? Would you step out and come? This is your opportunity. Who else? Mamas? Who else will come? We've got some of our staff ladies that'll be glad.